So good to be with you this morning. I say that for a couple of reasons. I was reflecting on this over the last couple of weeks in preparation. I love you people. I really do. And when I think about the opportunity to open up God's word with you and to worship the Lord, I count it a true privilege. And I'm glad to be here for that reason. I'm also glad to be here because when I preach, I have the opportunity to reflect back on some of the silly things that I have done in my life. I tell you, the scripture really does kind of open us up, right? And help us reflect on things. I was thinking about a time when I met my wife. She wasn't my wife yet, obviously, in college. And the thing that came to my mind is the things that we do in order to stay on someone's good side. It's pretty exceptional. You see, I met my wife at a Bible study in college, and after the first week, after meeting her and seeing her again the next week, I said, hey, well, would you be willing to go on a walk with me? And so she accepted my invitation, and I thought, okay, all right, that initial acceptance is there. Now, how do I keep this thing going? So what I did was probably what some of you other men have done during this process. You really put your best foot forward, right? You were total gentleman. You would think about the words that you would say before giving her a phone call, making sure you didn't look too stupid. When we went on these walks, and we went on several that week, I even picked a yellow rose from a rose bush and gave it to her so she could remember me when we were apart. Yeah, I know. Some of you are saying, I know you, Josh, and this seems very out of character. But I'll tell you this. It is not out of character for anyone that wants to gain someone's acceptance in the first place, but then to continue to be accepted in the second. You see, what I really wanted from Ariella at this time is her ongoing acceptance. I didn't want her to just say, yeah, I'll go on a walk with you. But I wanted that walk to blossom into something lasting. And that's true, I would say, for all of us when relationships are really important. If you think about your relationship to your employer, you really do want that initial acceptance to get the job. But from that point forward, you want ongoing acceptance. And so you really take care of the words that you say. You say, oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I'll do that. I'll work this weekend. You do what you can because you want that ongoing acceptance, right? Parents, we have little kids, right? And sure, we have the acceptance of our kids when they're young. But as they grow into teenagers, let's be honest, we really do want their ongoing acceptance of us. So we try to do certain things in order to gain that. We may try to dress in clothing that's cool. Is that still a cool word to say? I don't even know. But you see what I'm saying? We go to all these lengths in order to gain this acceptance. Kids out there, you do this when you meet friends at school. You're accepted into a little group. But what really matters is that initial acceptance grows into something that's ongoing. And so you do certain things to fit in and be part of the crowd. Well, the challenge is sometimes we approach our relationship with God in a similar fashion. You see, we recognize if we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that our acceptance, our approval is by his grace based on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we really want to see God accept us throughout our life all the way to the end. We want to be found at every moment to be approved by God. And sometimes the way that we live kind of mixes up our goals of being accepted in what we do. Let me give you an example. For many of us, when our lives were transformed by Christ, it really did change the way that we lived. We started reading the scripture that we couldn't understand before, but now we do. We started treating people differently. We realized that we could pray to the Lord and ask for his help. We began to come to church and fellowship with God's people, right? But somewhere along the line, these practices started to get muddled up with the way that we desire to maintain or remain approved by God. You see, it just seems natural. Hear me closely. It just seems natural that a person who reads the Bible every single day is more approved by God than one who reads the Bible once a month. It just seems natural that the person who has a pure mind is more accepted by God, is in more right standing, if we can say it that way, than the person that says, you know what, I struggle with pornography. It just seems right that the parents that have kids that are great and walking with the Lord, surely God accepts them more than those whose kids aren't walking with the Lord any longer. If you've ever thought that, you realize that there's a heavy burden that goes along with that. Because if you're like me, my life is filled with failure after failure after failure. If you can identify with that, then you'll definitely want to turn to Galatians chapter 3. Because there we find the answer to a very important question, one that we don't normally ask ourselves. And the question is this: how do we remain accepted by God? How do we remain approved by God throughout our whole lives? You see, we have tidied this approval by God, and we have wrapped it up at the beginning, but we come back to it in our lives, don't we? And we say, surely, God, I can do something to maintain your acceptance. You are more approving of me when I do this versus that. And so that's what we want to look at this morning, how to remain acceptable to God. And in our passage, we're going to see a wrong way to go about this. But then we'll see a right way that, friends, I'll tell you, is going to, by the Lord's work in our lives, really release us to live quite freely as he intended. So here's the wrong way. Very simply, you don't remain accepted by God by relying on human effort. I know you shouldn't say it. I'm sorry, can you say that again? You don't remain accepted or approved by God by doing good. You don't remain accepted by God by relying on human effort. Let's take a look. Galatians chapter 3. We're going to look at just the first three verses for now. Paul says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" That's a great word. Who has deceived you? Who has tricked you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law? That's human effort. That's good works. Or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Paul says you do not rely on human effort to remain acceptable to God. But this is exactly what the Galatians were doing. Think back through this book. And it's all right if you haven't been here with us. Here's the snapshot. Jesus Christ has been proclaimed to these believers in Galatia, and they have accepted the reality that in order to be found approved before God, we use the fancy word justification, to be justified. It means to be in right standing before God, who knows all things and who is just. And they say they've come to believe that the only way to be in right standing before God is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died on the cross for their sins. Belief in the gospel equals justification, and you don't add anything to it. But the problem is, the Galatians have done exactly that. Paul finds them, finds these Christians who began in faith, now seeking to, notice in verse 3, seeking to finish by works of the flesh. They began all right, but then they said, man, we need to add something to this faith in order to remain approved by God. And so addressing these Galatians directly, Paul calls them fools. Well, that's pretty strong wording there. Why in the world would Paul call the Galatians fools? Well, take a look. He says in the second half of verse 1, he says, before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. The idea here is we proclaimed the reality that Jesus Christ, who is fully God and fully man, was crucified for your sins. And you believe that. But someone has come in. People have come in, and while your eyes were fixed on this crucified Jesus, they have given you an illusion. They have put blinders up in front of you because you believe that while you began in faith, you are now relying on your works, on human effort. If you will, they were using performance-enhancing drugs for the spiritual life. But in doing that, they are corrupting the very faith they claim to hold. And Paul says, you're fools. Friends, we have this temptation as well to do exactly the same thing. If we went around the room, we could each speak of the transformation that we have had when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. How we opened our eyes to the fact that we could add nothing to God to make him approve us. And it is only by the finished work of Christ. We could go around the room and celebrate that reality. But the temptation to rely on human effort is so powerful. But it happens in a very subtle way. You see, in the time of Galatians, there was a group that came in and started teaching, you need to keep the law. Even though you believe, that's all right, but keep the law. I don't know about you, but I haven't seen many groups coming in and saying, you need to keep the law. Instead, it often comes about when we take good and healthy practices and make them laws unto themselves. And we do that in order to maintain or remain in God's good graces. I remember a particular time that I struggled with this. Don't get me wrong, I still struggle with it even now, but the things just seem to change. But I remember when I was in junior high, I had been a believer since a pretty young age, but the Lord really grabbed me in junior high, and I remember coming home each day and sitting at my desk. I can't even tell you what the youth Bible looked like, and I would read my Bible every single day. I would read the devotionals. But of course, I would miss a couple days in this process. I come back, and the first words out of my mouth, God, I'm sorry that I missed spending time with you today. Now, I'll stop right there. There's nothing wrong with praying that. But where I erred was the next step. And I started to think, man, if I can't love you enough to read every day, how could you ever love me? If I'm not committed enough to you to put these things aside and elevate this activity that is so vital to the spiritual life, how can you continue to accept me? And friends, let me tell you, the burden that I experienced was oh so heavy. In fact, it almost drove me away from reading the scripture altogether, because life is filled with that type of failure. Perhaps you keep a ledger like I did, not in writing, but in your head. And you say, you know what, I know when I treat my spouse right, God will approve of me. I know that if I am consistent when I pray and when I read the scripture, God will surely be more accepting of me. It just seems to make sense, doesn't it? If I go to church regularly, and when I go, if I give sacrificially, you know, I'm not even going to give 10%, I'm going to give 12%. God will surely find me in better standing. But Paul says, don't be fooled. Don't rely on human effort to remain acceptable to God. Now, let me give a disclaimer here, because I want to be very clear. This text, and I, am not saying that doing good is bad. In fact, I was thinking through the numerous places in both the Old and the New Testament that say doing good works, obeying God, is what God prepared for us beforehand. This is Ephesians chapter 2. God is pleased when we do them. Even at the end of Galatians in chapters 5 and 6, you're going to see Paul say, in light of this reality that your acceptance is not based on human effort, in light of that reality, guess what he says? Go do good. So good works are not bad. But when we do anything at all to stay on the good side of God, when we do anything with the motivation of saying, surely God will accept me more, will approve of me more, we have overestimated what we can do, and we have underestimated what God has done through Jesus Christ. Don't rely on human effort to remain acceptable to God. Now, if you're like me, okay, you're like, okay, I need something to fill that void. I need the right answer, because it just doesn't seem right. Well, thankfully, Paul gives us the right answer, and here it is. Instead of relying on human works, human effort to remain acceptable to God, we are to rest in the belief in which we first believed. We rest. We rejoice. We have peace in the belief in which we first believed. The way that Paul teases out this idea is through a series of rhetorical questions he gives to the Galatians. Now, rhetorical questions are great, right? Because they don't require an answer, because the answer is so obvious. But just so we don't miss it, we're going to answer the questions. Let's take a look. Beginning in verse 2. I would like to learn just one thing from you, Paul says. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? And you can just see them all saying, yes, Paul, we received the Spirit by believing what we heard and not by works of the law. Now the receiving of the Spirit is shorthand in the New Testament for being accepted by God. From the book of Acts, where the church began, forward, we see the Spirit always associated with God's acceptance, God's approval. In other words, if you see the Spirit, you know that God's hand is on it. So when Paul says, did you receive the Spirit? He's saying, were you accepted? Were you approved by God? More technically, were you justified by believing what you heard, the gospel, or works of the law? And they say, by believing what we heard. So he says, so why are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, if you began by believing what you heard, why are you now trying to finish, trying to build on that, trying to continue on to the finish line by means of the flesh, by means of human effort? And the Galatians say, yes, Paul, we are foolish because we have been trying to build on that by means of human effort and not by faith. And so he says to them in verse 4, check it out. He says, so if you have been trying to build on this acceptance through the flesh, through human effort, have you not experienced or suffered so much in vain? And the answer is, yes, Paul. If we have attributed anything to human effort and not to faith in the gospel, all the suffering that we have experienced, the persecution, is in vain. It's worthless. All of our hope, all of our conceptions about reality and the future of what God's going to do are in vain. Very powerful, isn't it? And so Paul comes back. So again, I ask you, does God give you, now present tense, does God give you his spirit? Does he continue to work miracles among you by works of the law or by believing what you heard? And the answer, yes, Paul. We receive the spirit. We are approved or accepted by God because of faith in the gospel, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not by human effort. And then, of course, he goes to the clincher of the argument. So if Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, if we work our way backwards, here's how it breaks down. It's quite simple. If Abraham believed God and God gave him righteousness, gave him approval, recognized and gave him right standing, and if God gives the Spirit to you through faith in the gospel, why then would you seek approval through any other means? He says, rest. He says, reword it. Rest in this belief in which you first believed. Now, friends, you and I sit here and we say, man, I don't really see the Spirit working in these miracles like the Galatians. That's a good point. I got to be thinking, and as I talked with some folks, it occurred to me that if you go further in the book of Galatians, and we'll get there, Paul says that if you have the Spirit, you are going to display what he calls the fruit of the Spirit. Listen to what he says in chapter 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Friends, if you see those qualities in yourself, it's not because of you. It's because the Spirit is working within you. I remember seeing this particularly evident with my oldest child, Eden. She's 11. And no offense, I'm the youngest, but no offense to all you firstborns, but she's a strong-willed firstborn child. And for those of you who know me, Dad's a strong-willed youngest child. And we've had our disagreements over the years, but I remember after she became a believer in Jesus Christ, one time she came to me, it was the first time ever, she said, Dad, this is after an argument, Dad, I was wrong. Will you forgive me for being disrespectful to you? It blew my mind. It blew my mind because I'm like, Eden, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And you didn't get that by just correcting your behavior. It's a gift. It's a gift based on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, this is so difficult to believe. I keep on coming back to it. It is so difficult to believe because not only do we not see the Spirit working sometimes, we just sometimes don't. But it seems so natural that those who are good are more accepted by God. But the key idea of this text, here it is. We can't do anything to remain acceptable to God. We can't do anything to be approved by God. And why is that? Because when we first believed, God's pronouncement on us to be righteous began there and extends forward until he returns. We can't earn it, but here's the beauty of it. We don't have to. And so that's why we can rest in this belief in which we first believed. Well, what might that look like in our lives? Well, I'll tell you what it doesn't look like. It doesn't mean that we stop pursuing doing good. We pursue to do good works in honor of the Lord. So resting doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that we just sit back and let life go on by. But I think what it does mean is that we live with a new sense of peace and acceptance of the reality that God's approval comes by faith. Interestingly enough, it may not change anything about the way you live your lives on the outside. You still may get up every single day and spend time with the Lord, reading the scripture and praying. And you know what we would say around here? Praise the Lord to that. But the difference comes in is why you do it. You're not driven by this temptation to believe that what we do, and if I do it consistently, God will love me more. In fact, you're driven by it with this idea of resting. You're driven by it because you've been accepted, because you've been approved. It's radical, isn't it? It means that when we try to love our neighbor and take care of our wife and serve our husband, it doesn't mean that we do it in order to be accepted by God. It's because we have been. It frees us to live in a way, at some level, without obligation. It means that we resist the temptation to look at others and judge them because of our external frameworks of acceptance. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Instead, we say, you know what? I'm going to love that person. Doesn't mean that they're walking in righteousness. But if we're talking about approval and acceptance, it is based on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, there is a deep peace that comes with that. It means when you leave here, that everything you do is built upon a foundation that is sure, a foundation that you or I cannot jeopardize. That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. When you go through the periods of failure, like me, you can rest in the comfort that God has given you his righteousness based on faith. And when you go through the times of victory, the times of success, you praise the Lord that it is that acceptance that has fueled your living for the Lord God. It's amazing, isn't it? Rest in that belief. Now, some of you this morning are very confused about what I'm talking about when we talk about being approved by God based on faith. It's because perhaps you have never placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have come in here this morning thinking, you know what? If I match my ledger up against other people, I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a bad gal. But to know that peace begins with recognizing that we are sinners before God, and without his grace, we are destined to destruction. But God has provided restitution and reconciliation between us and God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is both God and man, and he was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for you and for me in our place, was raised from the dead, And when we believe in him, we can be forgiven and have everlasting life. Some of you have never taken that step. The invitation from this text today for you is to believe that this morning. And for the first time, you can rest in that belief that you believe from the beginning, even if that beginning is today. Sometimes when I think back on that time of courting Ariella, of wooing her, sometimes I'll mistakenly catch myself and think, boy, Josh, I did a pretty good job. She's a wonderful lady. How did I get such a great lady? And sometimes I think, well, my schemes worked. That's terrible, isn't it? I told Ariella, she's not here today. I told her, I'm going to use a story when we met. And I told her that line. She goes, you didn't use schemes on me? I'm like, come on now. I used some schemes. And I was pursuing her ongoing acceptance. But you know what? It occurred to me, even then when we got married, that when she professed her love for me, and when she said those vows of commitment to me, it wasn't because of what I had done. It really wasn't. In fact, it probably was in spite of what I had done. She said these things to me. She made this commitment because she's gracious. And when she said it, when she said, I do, in some sense, she was saying, you're on my good side forever. You don't need to try anymore. I love you. I accept you. I would submit to you that the eternal God does something very similar, only far greater and far more significant, because he never wavers in his commitments. That when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I declare you right before me based on that. You don't need to work. You never have. Rest in that. Rest in the belief in which you first believed. Our Father, this is such a challenging reality because in our lives we are faced with so many examples in which our ongoing goodness is the basis of someone's acceptance of us. And we are even told that wrongly, that describes you. What you have challenged the Galatians with, and thereby have challenged us with, is that belief based on the gospel that we have heard is the basis of your approval for us. Help us to embrace that and to live with a new sense of purpose and anticipation to do good works, because we know that by your grace, you accept us. Help us to revel in that and even more to rest in it. And we pray this through your Son and by your Spirit. Amen.